Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rule the Roost podcast. It's a normal one, this one. It's not just me rambling half-cut into a microphone. Correct me if I'm wrong, people seem to quite like it. You like it. You really like it. The people, they love me. Finally, the validation. Who would have thought it would have just taken me speaking into a microphone on my own all this time for people to finally like me? And Dad, if you're listening, you know... No, still not. Anyway, I'm not talking to myself today, although I kind of am doing that at this point in time. But I actually have with me an old friend, football writer, and now a viral sensation, Jude Summerfield. How are you doing, Jude? How's it going?
I'm good, mate. I was enjoying your monologue opening there. I was laughing. I didn't want to do it right into the microphone because the delivery was... perfect,
you didn't want to like pull the people out of
absolutely
out
not,
of the moment.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like that's been written, it's been performed, you know, rehearsed, and now it was time to see it and beautiful.
Just me, isn't it? A laid back entertainer. you know how it goes. How are you doing? Jude's a writer for 90 Min. Anybody that doesn't know, you should know by now. So follow him, but we'll do all the plugs and stuff in a bit.
Sure.
But I used to work with Jude at 90 Min. He's lasted the course, whereas they got rid of me. So what's the secret to that, Jude? What was I doing wrong, mate?
We could go into that, couldn't we?
A peek behind the curtain.
I'd definitely get in trouble though. But you know, I keep my head down, mate. You know the economy, inflation. It's all happening. I don't want any disruption. I want to be settled, you know? I keep my head down.
Operating in the shadows. Like, you know that Smithers meme when he's standing in the car park having a cigarette in the dark?
Exactly.
That's you. That's you, exactly. Your teammate. Right, look, fucking let's talk about something, because, I mean, I am absolutely buzzing about... Actually, no. Let's jump... The Premier League is back. The Premier League is back. Yep. First game of the season... Arsenal versus Crystal Palace. What did you make of that one, Jude? Are the Arsenal back? Are you buying it? Are you buying the hype?
I thought it looked quite similar to the games that they won last season, where they were sort of solid enough and had enough of an attacking threat to win. That Saliba looks quite tasty at the back.
Annoyingly so, don't
they? Yeah, he sort of looks quite modern, sort of prototype central defender. They were quite functional, and Jesus looks like he might enjoy a good season there. I don't know how prolific he's going to be, because there are other players in the league who are still back to score more, 100%. But yeah, they look decent enough, but I don't know. It was the same with most of the teams in the Premier League this week. I didn't really come out of it feeling like Bar City. There were too many threatening performances, which is... I don't know, a little ominous, perhaps.
But, yeah. So, well, I mean, I would say the most threatening performance, really. I mean, City were good. They were ominous, but I think you would have to say, rivalry aside, Spurs they were the pick of the bunch, right, this weekend. I think a few people will be taking notice of us if they weren't already, wouldn't you say?
100%. It was it was a pretty complete performance, really. I have to say, I didn't manage to catch it live. I watched it on Spurs Play the day after, because I was out during the day. So I was, you know, keeping in touch through PN notifications on the day and then watching it the day after. But they were just in control throughout the whole game. It never, even when Southampton took the lead, it never really seemed like Spurs were deterred in their approach. They were still trying to make the pitch as big as possible, still creating chances, and the goals came. And like, it was fucking awesome to see a few of the scorers being like Sessegnon and Dier at the start, because it's really like beat your chest stuff with those yeah. sort of guys who score, you know, the sort of fringe players. Well, not fringe, they're starting, but not typically associated with
sort of the scoring. Lads that you want to see something go their way, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then you hear like Dier hadn't scored for like 3 years, since I think he scored against Everton in 2019.
That's fucking mad, isn't it?
Which is, yeah, like a league goal, which is mad. And then that's Sessegnon's first Premier League goal for Spurs, which is just, it's just nice. Like when people break those ducks, and it's so clearly come as a result of the change in system as well, where everything, we just look fucking solid throughout the whole team. I don't know, it makes me giddy. I think you'll probably be exactly the same, but I'm quite giddy after watching that game.
Unbelievably so, mate. I mean, that's kind of partly what gave me that final push to do that sort of solo pod thing. It's just like, you know what, I want to capture some of these feelings, because, you know, I was really quite excited ahead of this season. Excited. The weird thing is, right, excited isn't even the word. Like, it's... The difference between this is, right, we were really exciting under Pochettino, I thought, because there was a kind of intangible, whatever it is, what is it they call it, like bottled lightning type effect to that. Bottle being the operative word, though, with Tottenham. isn't it? War a trophy. But I think the thing I loved about Pochettino is it's like we had some great players and... Well, we had a fucking exceptional starting 11, to be honest, but our squad, there wasn't a lot of depth there. And it always felt like we were still kind of a bit young, a bit inexperienced, but we were there. We were kind of there to kind of mix things up a bit. And so there was always, it always carried with it a lot of hope. There was a sort of self-assurance that, yeah, we should be getting into the top four. But in terms of getting the big stuff, like, you know, being in title races, going to a Champions League final, that was really sort of exciting. I mean, the thing is, it's you know, come on, it's not going to not be exciting if Tottenham are in a title race or get to a Champions League final this year. But what I mean is, like, before the fact, it feels like at the moment there's a sort of level of like self-assurance that I think really Conte has bred into the club and bred into the players. I think it really does help the fact he does have Son and Kane, who are, let's be honest, two of the best players in world football right now. And I really don't think we can kind of, you know, understate or overstate that enough. Either way, I just think we shouldn't take that for granted. Conte is fantastic, undoubtedly, but Son and Kane are really, they can really make the difference as well, alongside him, his management. But do you know what, do you see what I'm getting at, though? There is a certain, like, maybe it's unearned, but I just look at this team and I look at the way we ended last season and the way we've already picked up where we left off, having added to that squad as well. You know, we were 4-1 up and bringing Perisic off the bench. Mm-hmm. You can't help but look at this Tottenham team now and think, we're going to do something special, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And if it is ever going to be a year, it's sort of like, the stars have really quickly aligned on this one. It's quite mad, the change in atmosphere in a year. And like, football is quite a volatile sport, I suppose, but from where the club was in sort of October time last year, absolute like pits of the earth stuff.
Big time, right?
Like going to games was quite a you know, a testing.
It felt like a chore, didn't it?
Day out. It really was, because there was nothing. You could see no real plan on the pitch, and the fans caught on to that, and suddenly the stadium's this big bag of nerves, and goals go in, and it's horrible. But like, we talk about rebuilds in football, but Spurs have managed to do this one really, really efficiently. Like, in such a small amount of time to the point now where there's leaders all over the pitch, really, whether it be from like players who have been at the club for a long time anyway, like Kane and Lloris and Son, to like the new recruits who have sort of been there, done that, seen it all, like Perisic, and to a lesser extent, a few of the other players. But yeah, they've just got this squad depth now, and we're going to see like those five subs happen quite a lot, just because Conte loves is changing up a wing back. So that's going to be like Sessegnon will do an hour and then he'll come off, which is pretty, yeah, very remarkable, really, just to have that threat coming off the bench after the left wing back has already scored as well. And yeah, like strangely, Son and Kane really weren't that sort of prominent in the game. Like the threats were coming from other areas, which doesn't happen that often in Spurs games at all.
Well, that's the thing that's quite funny though, isn't it? Because like, I think they're sort of bad, not bad even. I think they were pretty average by...
They were decent, weren't they?
Yeah, like, exactly.
They were still getting involved.
Kane was like splaying a few like balls around and everything like that. And I just meant like more by their own standards. But the thing that you're noticing now is that, I mean, I think Kane in particular by Southampton, like they were sort of doubling up on him and they were sort of very quick to close him down. But what we're seeing now is like having a player like Kulusevski, who's another handful for opposition defenders. I think that's what really excites me about this team, mate, having those three up top. I don't know if you saw today, the stat was just shared that in 2022 now, Tottenham has scored 51 Premier League goals with a most prolific team in the Premier League. Manchester City on 50 goals, Liverpool on 46. I mean, we don't want this to turn into another one of those things like it did under Pochettino where, you know, we seem to keep having great calendar years and just kind of falling short in terms of seasons. So you can only sort of carry this type of stuff too far. But still, the signs are there, right? The signs are kind of encouraging. And especially, like we say, when we have an attack as potent as we do, because, you know, we're not even talking about the fact, I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but you've still got Lucas Moura on the bench. You've got Richarlison on the bench waiting to come in. You know, you've got Perisic who can operate further up the pitch as well, should need be. I'm kind of getting to the point now where I don't see how this Tottenham team can't do really, really well, you know?
I think, yeah. And I think they should be putting in similar performances against City and Liverpool. I think those are like the games are really going to judge our season by. Just, I really, really want to see the Spurs team beat Liverpool because it's been like 5 years this time since we last beat them. So
we've come so close the past few years.
I know, just a few little batshit instances where like a known goal's gone in and Sissoko's blazed one over the bar.
Or Sissoko's waved his arm around in the box after 25 seconds in the biggest game of our lives.
Which one was that?
Yeah.
I haven't watched the highlights, mate. Oh, I have not seen the highlights. Kulusevski is just a star boy, mate. I'm still trying to compute how Spurs have got a player this good.
Well, this is
such a fucking tip.
That's it. I mean, that's what I wanted to go on to. I mean, I think we were obviously, I would say, signing him knowing that he'd be a decent option. Bergwijn was pretty unsettled at the club. So it was kind of the way I read it is it was a bit of a one out, one in. We're going to lose Bergwijn, but we'll bring in another young kind of wide forward player that maybe in time will be decent. I don't truly believe that the club, Paratici, anybody knew or thought Kulusevski was going to be the player that he is, right? Because, like you say, star boy, like this is a lad that, He looks like he's got the world at his feet, to trod a good old football cliche. But he's unbelievable. Like, he's unbelievable. He's one of our best players already, like, by a long way, right?
He's like running games as well. I think last season maybe he was a bit more of like a beneficiary, I suppose, of Son and Kane's brilliance. But that the game against Southampton, it was him running the show. Like, the cross for Sessegnon was like inch perfect, and he's just such a danger coming in from the right with that left. And then his goal was so nicely taken as well. You can't get the ball off him. Like, he's very one-footed, but his close control is just immense. He's just such an exciting player, and like, genuinely, like, the sky's the limit for him. Like, the technique he's got, like, when he's drifting in and around the sort of the edge of the box, and he can just suddenly like turn and dart towards goal like he did yesterday, it's so exciting, man.
how nice is it as well that we kind of got him as a result of not getting Luis Diaz over the line?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot of like comparisons between the two. I see, like, I'm sure Liverpool fans are still well happy with Luis Diaz, and like, fair play, he looks like a cracking player. And then obviously we're very, very happy with Kulusevski. The Luis Diaz thing was weird because it just sort of pushed Liverpool towards signing him, so that was always sort of going to happen.
I mean, let's be real, OJ.
Oh, we're being real.
Kulusevski is better, isn't he? He is better. You'd rather have him.
Obviously.
Right? I mean,
yeah,
How... All right, if we're going to do some like redundant football Twitter type comparisons, because I blurted this off the other day. I don't think he's not on Foden's level. I think they're comparable talents.
Oh, Phil Foden.
What would you say?
I think I've seen you spouting this nonsense out before. no, I think they're pretty similar ages, aren't they? They're both 22. Like,
I think there's a few months. I can't remember which one's older, but there's like two or three months between them.
Right, okay. In terms of like pure output, a lot of people probably say Foden just because he's been in the Premier League a little longer, and people are more familiar with him. Having watched the amount of football Kulusevski's played for Spurs, like, I think, yeah, I'm 100% with you, Jack.
The thing about Kulusevski is he's a unit. Like, and he doesn't... This is the thing that we were saying, kind of one of the early observations, is that he looks like ungainly, is that? Yeah, that's the term, isn't it? He doesn't look like he's kind of athletic. He's got that similar thing to, like, Harry Kane, in that they don't really look like athletes, yet he seems to be able to, like, just twist and turn kind of defenders everywhere. And... this sort of that upper body strength of his, he really like does use it to his advantage. I don't know, man. I just can't really get a handle on like quite how good I think he's going to be, because at the moment, like I really am kind of looking at this now. I'm thinking he's doing this at 22. He's doing this pretty much immediately in the Premier League. Like, you know, is this lad like, is he potentially kind of a Son Salah level player? I don't think that's mad to say.
Some,
you know,
sort of Galactico. Yeah, like, why not?
We have got this.
You'd probably say that you'd
you'd
maybe want to see him get like have a season where he's like 15 goals assists, something like that, or just 15 goals in the league, and then like push on. Like, I mean, Salah didn't really do that. He just went crazy from the first season, and then Son has sort of built up to this level. But yeah, like his finishing on his left is pretty sweet, and his right foot is just like, if you remember the Norwich game, like it's tough to see him scoring anything with that.
It's mad, isn't it?
But I bloody hope so, man. Like, Kane, Son, and this, just him linking up with them perfectly, and yet also doing his own thing. So it's wonderful to see.
I don't know if you saw like Jack Pitbrook's piece on him in the Athletic, but he was kind of talking about, and this is the thing that's really encouraging it, Kulusevski's another one of those like Harry Kane, Gareth Bale, Cristiano Ronaldo type players that's teetotal, watches his diet completely. I think he even like only drinks like water at a certain pH level, like to that level. He's really kind of into the micro macro nutrition stuff. It's just, oh, it's pretty mad, isn't it? I mean, you probably know more about this type of stuff, but so the deal that we have in place with Juventus, there's no way whatsoever that they could just pull out of it, right? They couldn't just say, Nah, actually, we don't want to sell him to you.
Yeah, that won't happen. I don't think it can happen. So, is that like a nightmare that's been replaying over in your...
Oh, completely. Absolutely, completely.
I can see why, yeah. No, it's pretty ironclad.
Because, I mean, that would be vile, right?
It'd be terrible, yeah.
If they were just like, nah, so it's like, we're going to sell him to Real Madrid for 100 mil instead of selling him to you for like...
He actually looks really good. I don't know, he didn't look good for us, but he looks really good for you. So we're just going to make a load of money now. That's okay. That would not be fine.
It wouldn't. I mean, you'd kind of understand it, but yeah, it would be awful. It would be horrific. Oh, God, I love him. Another player that, if we're talking about putting respect on their name, Benjamin Davis. Since Antonio Conte has taken over Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, is there a case to be made that in terms of like where they were and where they're at now, Ben Davis is the most improved under Antonio Conte?
There is a big, definite case, 100%. You remember those Europa Conference League games under Nuno, right, last season?
How could I forget them?
The one where... How? You remember the three teams we were drawn against, obviously, because I absolutely do not. But Ben Davis was very much in the B team, wasn't he? He was not getting a look in for the Prem games at the start of the season. And he was going off to, you know, all corners of Europe in this sort of turgid competition, playing with some pretty dross players, really. I mean, I don't want to slag off all of Tottenham's fringe players, but if you play them all on the same 11, it doesn't look good, and it didn't look good in the Conference League. But like, he's another player who they've managed to like find a definite home for just on the pitch at left centre back, and he's just got the perfect blend of sort of pace and positional awareness, and just clatters into folks if he needs to, and his upturn has just been immense. And like, he's far from gentle Ben these days, you know. Like, he's a brilliant player. And I'm glad he was fit for the game as well, because there was a little bit of fitness like concern around him, and we might have had like Clement Longley or Sanchez in instead of him, but he's perfect for that role. So tidy.
Dare I say, are you that arsed now, like seeing this with this in mind, are you actually that arsed that we haven't managed to get like a Bastoni or whatever over the line? Because I'm kind of not really.
No, not right now, no. I think it'll still be like a long-term target for the club. And I think from what we hear, they still like Pau Torres as well at Villarreal. But I'd be very surprised if they made another move this summer. And with the level of performance that Ben Davis has shown, it'd almost be a bit harsh. Like, and you'd be messing with sort of a winning formula as well, because he's been so good in that role. I think he provides a nice little level of assurance behind Ryan Sessegnon, who was great on Saturday. But yeah, you've got to love gentle Ben, right? Like, he's been brilliant recently.
I do, and I just think he's like, he is really committed to the club. I think he clearly is very happy at Tottenham, loves the club, and gives a lot to it. You know, I don't think you would ever say of Ben Davies that he doesn't sort of give his all every time he's on the pitch. You know, he's a hard working kind of. He's really scrappy as well, you know. That's the thing I really like about him. Like, like you were saying, like, not so gentle anymore. You know, he really kind of he goes after it. I think he presses really well. But I think one of my biggest concerns was that he'd kind of get exposed in the air, but I haven't really noticed that. I don't know. Has anything stood out for you on that, or is it?
I think I've as the stats nonce here, I've got it up, and I think he's apparently he won 4 aerials and 6 defensive aerials, which was sort of close to a game high against Southampton. So he's pretty good in the air, and he played there a lot for Wales before, so I think he's pretty tough as nails, really. Ben Davis, like,
good. And that's the thing, like, Wales are a scrappy team, man, and they're like, they're decent. They've made a World Cup at the end of the day, you know.
Yeah.
They're a decent side, and they're fighters. Yeah, I don't know. I like Ben Davies. I like a bit of that energy in the squad, because you don't know what you're gonna get. I mean, being brutally honest, I don't want to sort of bat myself into a corner here, because I do really think Bastoni looks like an exceptional talent, and mm-hmm. we probably really would be very lucky to have him. Not lucky. I don't want to say it's a bit beggy, isn't it? But we would happily have him. But Ben Davies, you know, him and Eric Dier as well, man. There's a lot going for the pair of them. They do seem to be two of the generals of the team. I mean, Dier in particular. I mean, his head, fucking, how good was his header? You know,
so good. Yeah, love a little stoop. And I think they're both players who are just they're so fully committed as well. Like the commitment levels, just having been at the club for a long, long time, they'll bring that aggression. That what's the phrase there? The cool heads and hot hearts, I think it is. They're both very aggressive players. And they just, I think they've been in the club so long, they deserve to have some, a period of success towards the end of their careers as well, because, you know, they're not spring chickens. They're getting on maybe late 20s. And I think they deserve to be part of the team that's winning each week. And they're there on merit as well. Eric Dier has been so good these last 6 months. It's unbelievable just the leader he is at the back. He's still prone to the odd error here and there. And I think that's going to be the case with Eric Dier throughout the rest of his playing career. But his passing range, his communication at the back, he's been so good for Spurs recently. And the way he compliments Romero as well, it's a really good back line. And when you see Spurs actually being secure and solid at the back, that's sort of when you think, okay, now we add in the attack, Son and Kane, and you think maybe 16, 17, you go on a run like that and you get 87, 90 points, something similar. Which I think, you know, let's see what happens. It's obviously a very early days, but they're going to win a lot of games this season, I think.
Oh. It's what they've sort of reduced me to now, groaning noises, not even forming coherent sentences. I mean, I do struggle with that at the best of times, but still, it is.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It doesn't, I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't have that same kind of, I don't see if I look to the, you know, if you imagine now we're in a beautiful meadow and you look to the edge of that meadow, there's a dark forest, and there's often a shadowy figure poking his head out of the forest, waving at us, beckoning us over, as in hello Tottenham, remember you Tottenham, I'm waiting here for you to make, you know, all this.
Yeah, they never leave.
He's gonna go, but I feel like he's gone on holiday this year, because I don't really have that same sense of how are Spurs gonna fuck this one up kind of thing. Mm. I just kind of feel that we're gonna be in a real good fight with two exceptional teams in Liverpool and City, but then also in very good teams like Chelsea. I hate to say it, Arsenal as well. I mean, I do think we are. I mean, Chelsea's the next hurdle, right? Chelsea are the team, ironically, you know, we're playing them next, but I don't really know how that game's going to go. But I think over the course of a season, they're the team that we really kind of got to take down next, right? And it's so hard to... The problem with that one is it's so hard to gauge with a team like Chelsea, isn't it? Because we've seen them in this position before when everybody's... At the start of the season, it's like, oh, they don't look that good. They're kind of missing players in key areas. And then they end up finishing second and, like, fucking winning the FA Cup or the Champions League or something like that. And Raheem Sterling is obviously the best piece of business that anybody did all season. And do you know what I mean? Like, we know... And Koulibaly, we know where this narrative goes. So they are just such a kind of, I don't know, a basket case of a club, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean... Sean spoke, we recorded Oh What a Night earlier today, and Sean spoke about the Chelsea games being a bit more like statement games, really, and Spurs really haven't, they never really seem to get that statement win against Chelsea, like that one with Dele aside, which was, that was a pretty good day when Dele was flipping off all the Chelsea fans, I have to say. I'll be playing that one on replays for like the rest of the week, just trying to envision
Ericsson's like thunderbolt
again.
As well.
Yeah, man, that was a dreamy one. It was just like, Dele, it's 3, it's 3-1. I've been gone behind.
Because I think it was Dyer, wasn't it, that like played a inch perfect pass to Dele, who took it like amazing, like that touch and then bang, kind of into the back of the goal
so quickly. One touch finish, that's all you need. One touch.
No, I think he like saluted the Chelsea fans, didn't he?
Yeah. But yeah, there's a great picture of him, like you can see all the gammon pink heads in the background just sort of yelling abuse, and he's got his hand cupped to his ear, like sort of saying like, yeah, peak shithouse day. It'd be nice if we could get a win in a similar vein on Sunday. But it is like they're the next team that Spurs need to sort of assert themselves on, so to speak, I suppose. Bit kinky that, but they need to overhaul them for sure. Because they seem like they're the walking wounded always, and yeah, somehow managed to scrap away to some like modicum of success. Like winning the Champions League from nowhere, it doesn't make sense.
It's like, fuck off.
It's strange. Yeah, it really is. It's like, when you're bad, can you just be like bad for a while, please? I guess that's what Man United's for, to be fair. But yeah.
I mean, fucking hell, they are bad as well, aren't they?
They are bad. Brighton, my Brighton boys are good, but that was pretty atrocious stuff from Manchester United, I have to say. This Manchester United.
Just look at them and you just think, what the fuck is this team? Like, this is... I was sort of talking to Spooky about this before, that it's a team that, like, once upon a time, not that long ago, just looked invincible. I could never envisage a time when Manchester United wouldn't be unbelievable. And now, they just... There's nothing scary about them. There's nothing scary. I'll be really disappointed if we don't beat them twice this year. You know, that's... how bad I think they are.
Yeah, it was pretty terrible. We lost to them last season as well, but unfortunately their guy up front had one of his days, didn't he? So it was a bit of a wear. But yeah, they look so atrocious.
I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing I found surprising about Ten Hag as well, is that, you know, I did sort of feel that he would struggle a bit, kind of coming from an ecosystem like they have at Ajax, where everybody's pulling in the same direction, to the literal opposite of that in Manchester United. But I thought it was strange, you know, him making this big point, leaving Ronaldo out. And then when it wasn't going well, trying to bring on Ronaldo to save the day.
I thought it like stunk at desperation a bit at the time. It was just sort of like, well, what's the plan here? I don't really...
You've been the big man all week, right? And sort of said, oh, you know, he's not allowed to do this. And then you've just kind of reverted back to what Solskjaer was doing before, you know, when it's...
Yeah, rolled over and had your tummy tickled. Yeah, it's very strange. But fabulous.
Funnily enough, a player who I thought... This is a good segue. Player who I thought that Manchester United could have done with, and I'm very happy Tottenham have, is Bentancur, who I always... When I think about him, like, I always think kind of... I can't, like, ever look back to games. I don't think there's any real Bentancur performances when I look back and think, wow, there was that one really standout moment that he did. He's just kind of exceptional consistently. He just plays at such a kind of high level that it all just kind of blurs into one. And I think that makes his moments, if you like, less. I mean, he's not really a moments player. I think that's what we kind of get from him so far. But I was sort of unsure about him towards the tail end of last year. And then I saw the change in the team. I don't know if you saw kind of the preseason against Sevilla. He didn't start the first half. And then as soon as he came onto the pitch, we just suddenly looked like we had a foothold in the game. And it reminded me of, if you think about kind of like that sort of the tail end era of Mourinho and also the sort of Nuno era, when Spurs just could not get a handle on the game, when they just couldn't seem to settle down, when we just always seemed to be playing at such a frantic pace because we were so terrified of holding onto the ball, never seemingly able to sort of retain possession and not really having decent options around. And I feel that like just Bentancur coming in has just calmed everything down and just added such a solidity to the team that we saw when we went 1-0 down against Southampton. We just carried on. We just went about our business and trusted that the work and the way in which we were playing, it would bear fruit, right? You notice how I really didn't want to say trust the process there. but I mean, are you impressed with him? You must be.
I think he's fab. Yeah, I think he's fab. But yeah, he does go under the radar in that way. But it's almost like, you know, if Spurs have had a good game, you almost won't really notice him because he just recycles things and keeps Spurs moving and breaks up attacks. But let's sort of, you know, the team is geared for the wide players to score goals and all that. So he's, I don't know if you've seen him trying to take shots on, man, but they're pretty atrocious. Like, he's not a shooter whatsoever. There are a few which he's just blazed into Rosette. But he's such a good, just, there are a few occasions where, like, Spurs have had corners and then gone to score off them, like from the second play almost. And it's just because they're so good at recovering the ball now. And he plays such a massive role in that, and he's so calm on it, he just keeps it moving. It's another weird one, like how he wasn't really rated at Juve, and just brings such a calm presence, you know, to a team that had, you know, not too long ago, like in Ndombele and Lo Celso and Harry Winks, where there was, you know, there was just no control. There was no control, so Spurs were like always on the back foot because they were one sloppy pass away from being broken on. But now, those two in centre mid, they're just so cool and composed, and they're really happy just knocking the ball around. There were chants of Ole at the stadium, which was awesome. So yeah, he's a really exciting lad, like brilliant.
You kind of. Wonder, like, he's the mainstay of that midfield, right? And in terms of the other players like Bissouma, Skip, Højbjerg, it's who plays alongside him. I mean, that's what it is for me. I don't like, would you agree?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of games leading up to the World Cup as well. So I think we'll probably see a few combinations. But I think for those Premier League fixtures, I think Bentancur is. I think it'll probably be those same two in the middle up until December at least, I'd sort of think, because they're very steady and it's worked up until now. And like poor Ollie Skip can't seem to avoid a knock every other weekend and stay fit properly, which is sad. But then, yeah, because there's five subs as well, Bissouma's going to come on and play and sort of provide the same sort of steel that he showed at Brighton. So... yeah, Bentancur is probably the one who sticks around. But like, I thought Højbjerg was really good as well against Southampton, I have to say. Like, I think he played the pass for the last goal, I think, which Kulusevski eventually ended up scoring from Royal's assist. So, yeah, I know Højbjerg gets some heat sometimes, but I thought he was really good on Saturday.
What did you make of Conte's sort of starting 11, leaving out all of the new signings and everything like that? Did you think it was a mind games thing, or do you think it's just simply that he knows those players to a better degree and they've worked with him for longer so far?
I think it's just a good continuity thing, to be honest. I thought it made total sense. Like, there was some there was like some chat over whether Perisic would start or whether it'd be Sessegnon, but I think they got the decisions right, to be honest. Because that was a team like the end of season form from Spurs last season was so good, and it's that it doesn't really seem like a good idea to really tamper with the starting 11 like that. I know Richarlison was suspended anyway, and he'll probably be one of the guys who like comes on 60-70 minutes next week against Chelsea.
That'd be a nice debut goal for him, wouldn't it? Because
wouldn't that be class?
Shit, yeah. Our sat as well, wouldn't they? Could be Delhi 2.0, you know.
It really could be nice little chicken dance while Son's doing his, you know, signature moves and all that. That could be limbs, Jack, in the away end. That could be real limbs.
I'd be pretty mad, wouldn't it?
I'd be mad.
We sort of touched on it before. Kane and Son. I mean, I'm not really that concerned about it, and they are. They're going to have, I think they're really going to have a monster seasons, those two, right? You'd be hoping that they'd both be on or around at least 20 Premier League goals this year, right? Son should be able to hit that. And Kane, I mean, I don't know, he looks very, very fit, you know? I wouldn't be surprised to see him kind of pushing 30, if not more, you know, this season.
Yeah. Yeah, I no reason to worry about those two, I don't think. They've just been so good for such a long period of time now. And, you know, maybe it didn't fall on Saturday, but most of the time it falls perfectly for Kane and Son, and they score a bucket load of goals. And I think that's going to be the case again this year. You know, they're both in their prime now, aren't they? And they're delivering week upon week. And a few of the chances that didn't go in on Saturday will go in those Premier League and Champions League games when the fucking Champions League's back. That's a whole other thing to look forward to as well.
I mean, I don't want to put I'm just interested to know your take on it. Like, what do you think the future looks like for Harry Kane? Like, do you see him signing a new contract, or do you think he's just going to run it down now and see what's what for him at the end of his contract, who's in for him?
I think my gut would be he'd sign a new deal, because I think Spurs are going to continue progressing, and a lot of the time in the past when he's been asked about contract, it's always been about want to see the club sort of reaching new heights, and then he'll sign a deal. And I think it will sort of hinge on these next few seasons and how much Conte can squeeze out of Spurs and how close they can go. But I think my gut will be that he'll stay.
It's interesting because, you know, it was James Moore raised this point the other day that it almost seems a bit uncomfortably obvious now, though, that with Haaland kind of signing his deal at City and Mbappe signing committing to PSG, basically, and the sort of subsequent fallout between him and Real Madrid, that there suddenly looks like a Harry Kane-shaped kind of hole at Real Madrid in maybe two seasons' time when Benzema isn't. He's just getting a bit long in the tooth by that point. I can't help but worry about that a little bit, because I don't know. I think Kane will obviously really want to win stuff in his career, won't he? Like, he's chasing Shearer's record, he's chasing Greaves' record at Spurs, but I think he really wants to get his hands on silverware, right? I mean, I don't know. I wish I could be as confident as you are, mate. That's all I'm saying about him signing a contract.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It would be. I don't want to see him playing for Real Madrid, really. Having seen the stuff that Gareth Bale went through towards the end, so hopefully not on that end. Because I don't know. Do you think the Spanish press would pick up on his ability to speak Spanish, or do you reckon they'd leave him alone? How do you think that will be?
It's hard to know, isn't it? Because I think the problem, in my opinion, the problem Bale always faced is that he went there at the same time as Ronaldo being there. But if Kane was joining there, if he was the superstar there, like the actual superstar, I don't know.
Do you think clubs see him as that player at the moment? Because I know Spurs fans do, and to me, he obviously is. Do you think, and which elite club do you think would really go in for, would it be Real?
I reckon so, yeah. But I think any of them would. I mean, Bayern have been after him, haven't they? Sort of making those whips. And I just can't see that one. Do you know what I mean? I just can't see Kane. I can't see the Bundesliga really kind of sating his desire for trophies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
When he's...
Yeah. It'd be a bit of a cheap way out almost, wouldn't it, I suppose? Because that league's on lockdown, really.
Yeah, I mean, what, didn't they just beat Eintracht Frankfurt like 6-0 or something?
6-1. It was a,
I mean, come on.
It was a bit chasing.
You know, they're supposed to be one of the better teams in the Bundesliga, and they've just done that to them. It's...
Yeah, won the Europa League.
yeah, exactly that. Like,
it smacks.
It's a bit of a joke, isn't it? Yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to take it at the negative level. It is just interesting. But I think the thing that is reassuring about having Kulusevski there is that when the time does come that we say goodbye to Kane or Son or both of them, I'm starting to almost feel like now you're looking at kind of Kulusevski, Romero, kind of got Sessegnon, who will hopefully continue to improve. We're signing that other lad, aren't we? Is it from Udinese? I think we're going to be signing somebody.
Yes, I forget his name, but yeah, I think that's done. And then he's getting loaned back, I want to say. And then he's coming back later.
You'd imagine.
They've got the young lad Pape Matassar as well.
Yeah, you're sort of seeing already that new era of Spurs, right? Like,
yeah, which is nice. Like, we haven't really had this amount of squad depth for a while, and it's also with an eye to the future. So
I mean, Richie lad's only what, 24, isn't he? 24, 25, I think.
Yeah, about that. He's done a lot in that time though. Like, he's played a lot for Brazil, and obviously scrapped out with Watford and Everton. I think it's people say 60 million, but I think it's a good. He's a finally a proven alternative who can come in if those lads need a rest, which they will. And he is a source of goals.
I don't buy it either because I think Everton, they spent about 35, 40 mil on him, didn't they? Just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
In that time, he's proven that he can lead the line for, let's be honest, a pretty god awful side, but really give it his all and kind of shine still in those circumstances. So, I don't get the complaints about that one. It's the sort of deal that Manchester City do. You know, when they sign...
It's one that every club has to do.
Yeah, they sign players like Mahrez in the past. They signed Grealish recently. You just kind of identify the best player in one of the teams lower on the ladder than you and sign them.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, and that's... Yeah. I think it's a really encouraging piece of business from Spurs. And I don't know. If the money's there to...
And it's not a punt as well. It's not a gamble. Like, he probably will score goals. Like, even I know for 60 million it's a lot of money, but it's a proven record, so they've got that to go on at least.
It's good. I just quite like him as well. I quite like his, you know, we're talking about energy. Yeah. I like his energy, you know. I like that him and like Romero have already kind of had a laugh about their sort of falling out. And I think I saw them called like the Bash Brothers the other day. You know, they just kind of straight away when they ran in and had Son's back. It's just good to have that kind of the caliente, the, you know, that kind of the fire in our team again. When, you know, it's just this time last year under Nuno, and it looked like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is this team? They don't give a shit. None of them care at all. And Conte has come in and kind of lit a fire up under them. And it's great seeing how many of them have responded to that, really, you know?
Yeah, they can respond. They're, you know, modern footballers are, you know, maybe not complete airheads, eh? You know? They want to make the best out of themselves, which is good. It was so soppy bollocks last season. It was ridiculous. Like, but so much nicer these days.
Have you seen...
One day into the season.
Have you seen that Villarreal might be coming for both Lo Celso and Ndombele?
I thought I saw Villarreal were close on Lo Celso, but, you know, if they do that, they're a great sporting institution in my eyes and will continue to be so going into the future.
I don't know if you're like Billy T said earlier that I wonder if Villarreal Twitter look at Spurs the same way as we look at Juventus. You know, just like, how the fuck did they not get these guys to work? Because they've got, what, Foyth, Capu, and who else?
Foyth, Capu, there is one other straggler, isn't there?
Because they did sign Soldado, but he flopped out there, didn't he? Even
they signed Aurier as well, didn't they?
Oh, did they? Yeah.
But that's not really a success story, I don't think.
But yeah, no. But I know they did sign Soldado from us, but yet again, he didn't. He didn't do very well for them either. But it's you know, maybe I mean, it is. I'm not that asked about the sale, so to be honest, great. You know, he had a good time at Villarreal. Good luck to him. We get his wages off the kind of off the bill, and you'd hope 15, 20 mil or so for him. That it's not a massive loss, I guess. What do we pay for him? About 30 mil, I think.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah,
so it sort of makes sense. And Double A is still, even to this day, it still carries with it that little kind of tinge of like what could have been. Does it for you, or are you just happy to see this sort of the back of him now?
Yeah, a little bit, but I'd say I don't. Yeah, I'm emotionally uninvolved with Tanguy and Ndombele now. I think that cord has been chopped up and thrown in the bin. Because I mean, like, how many chances do you need?
That's really, it, isn't it? Like, I think the die was cast a bit, wasn't it, when he said, "Oh, you know, I could probably be happy here at Tottenham," and you're like, "Oh, mate, that's not like kind of." I mean, again, you don't know what's a bad translation and what's not. There's every chance it's that. But it, whatever it is, it didn't really scream like, I'm determined to come back, fight my way into the manager's plans. Because that's the shit that Conte wants, right? And I get that people are all different. They don't kind of all communicate in the same way. And you just sort of have to look at kind of Ndombele's playing style to kind of maybe get a grip on what type of guy he is. But sometimes just play the game a bit, isn't it? That's a lesson. That's a lesson, kids. Just play the game a bit sometimes, you know?
Yeah. You might just look back and think, what the bloody hell was I doing? I've just wasted a few years there. But, you know, however it goes, I'm sure he'll have no regrets.
The annoying thing is, though, like, and Ndombele and Lascelles probably are just going to go on to Villarreal and, like, win the Europa League or something, you know?
Something silly like that. Yeah, that's the way it always goes, but... No, there's no. I think they're at the time now where they need to leave, and whatever money the club can get from them is grand. Like, they just should not be near the Spurs team anymore.
I think my main question, I guess my question in closing for you, Jude, now is: how were you looking at Spurs ahead of the Southampton game, and has your opinion changed at all? Even like being knee-jerk or anything like that, I'm not kind of looking to sort of catch you out on that side of things, but
gotcha journalism.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Has anything changed for you, and will it change again after Chelsea, do you think? Or I'm just interested to know where your head was at the top end of the season and what it's looking like now after Southampton.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of excitement towards the game beforehand. I know a lot of people... Well, I don't even know how many, but a few people have been like sort of slagging off Tottenham's business this summer, and I'm genuinely of the belief that it's been pretty sharp stuff. Maybe one centre back aside, but I was always pretty happy there. That helps the mood, obviously. We did our pre-season predictions at 90 men a while back, and I had them third, and I think I'd still stick with that now for the season. And from like the level of commitment that was out there from the team, I think I don't think anything will change off the back of Chelsea, because I think that I am backing them to go and have a good result out there. Like I think it's time for them to, you know, start stamping their authority on the teams around them, and I think there's enough sort of unrest around there at Chelsea that they can go and do it. So fingers crossed, but. Optimism is always the way to go, because what's the point otherwise, you know? And, you know, if you can't feel optimistic now, then when are you going to? So
you're sort of fully feeling that we're going to turn Chelsea over?
I think 75-80. I'll go with that. I'll go with that. I know.
That's interesting, mate. I mean,
could be fun.
I'd really would love to, because they're... I don't know. Like, the way I always kind of quantify this one is it Arsenal. I wouldn't want to see them, like, it would be very funny seeing them get relegated. I enjoy the North London derby. I enjoy the rivalry. I do hate them, but I wouldn't want to see them go anywhere. I wouldn't want to see them disappear from football. Chelsea, I'd be really happy if they liquidated. Like, when all this stuff was going on with Abramovich and the assets being seized and stuff, and it was looking like Chelsea might actually get, like, rolled up as an asset and whatever, have to restart at the bottom of the footballing pyramid or something. I was completely here for that, you know, because I really detest them as a football club, as an institution, everything that they stand for. And it just seems to be that them and Liverpool really are the two teams that I would say have probably, like, in recent years, the ones that we haven't fully managed to get over. Being, I don't know, we've had a good few good results against Chelsea, to be fair. You know, Son running like half the length of the pitch at Wembley, and Harry Kane kind of really announcing himself in that New Year's Day fixture. But there's still, I don't know, it still kind of feels like, you know, like, look at the fucking Leicester season, you know, the delight they took in kind of turning us over in that and beating us again in another fucking FA Cup semi-final, you know. Was it a semi? Yeah, it was a semi, wasn't it?
Yeah. They just brought, which I think, Hazard and Matic off the bench, and they both scored screamers, and it was a bit like, oh, okay, well, we had dreams of grandeur, but you've got that depth, and you just bring them off the bench and slam them into the top corner, which was a bit gross.
But not this time.
Not this time. Fingers crossed.
Well, thank you very much for giving us your time today, Jude. You do actually—I didn't mention this at the time. I don't like plugging rivals, but, you know, whatever. You do actually record a Tottenham podcast yourself, don't you?
We do. Sean Walsh and I, we give it a crack, and I think it's okay. You know, I think it comes out. I'm not really that hot on podcasts, so, like, I'll do that and listen to yourself, Jack. Obviously. Very big honour.
Obviously.
Very big honour to be on today.
It's an honour having you on. And you are very modest, mate. Oh, What a Night is Jude and Sean's podcast, and it's very good. You sometimes get the rest of the lads on, don't you? Hunter and Hainsey and
everything like that. Scheduling as well can be a bit tricky, but yeah, we've had Dan KP on as well. So it's mainly just Sean and I at the moment. But recording pretty regularly as well.
And obviously, you can read all of Jude's work as well on 90 Min, on the 90 Min website. Or just...
Not sure why you'd want to do
hurl him and Sean abuse when they kind of... Well, don't do that in general. I just mean when they announce transfer news and stuff like that. I see that's...
Oh, yeah.
That's one of those things I often see. That I really do kind of... feel bad for any, like, football writers, football journalists, is it seems to be whenever you guys just share any kind of story where you've been given kind of information that, you know, you kind of are like, well, this is what I've been told and I'm just sharing that because it's what you people like, everybody gets quite angry at you, don't they?
It can be quite funny. But yeah, I keep the Twitter notifications off, and I think it hits a few. It hits people a little harder than I do, because Twitter's sort of this weird imaginary world to me. I don't really understand how it works as of yet. But you get, you know, email as well. I think I've had a C-bomb dropped on me once, which was good fun, from, like, a John Smith with 5 England flags in his name, and, you know, loves his far right politics in his bio and all that sort of stuff. But it's to be expected, isn't it? It might just be somebody's, you know, backup account that I know. So, it's always good.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.